You know, this morning, I want to draw your attention to Exodus chapter 8. The center of God's will. Now, I want you to understand this. God's got a plan for every one of us in this room. There's nobody in this room that God does not know that you're here. There's no one in this room that God does not know your name. There's no teenager in this room that God doesn't know your thoughts. There's no one in this room that can say, I'm hidden out of the sight of God. Jonah tried that, didn't work. You're going to find that God has a plan for all of us. Now, God has also a plan for everybody else in the world that's not saved. And the first thing is to come to know Christ. That's His plan. Everything starts at salvation. God's plan starts the day you get saved. And He's got a course for everybody in this room. Now, I want you to notice God had a plan for the children of Israel. He wanted them to go to the promised land. But they were in Egypt. And I want you to notice, if you would, Pharaoh, and I want you to get this thought, trying to cut a deal with God. Have we ever tried to do that? Have you ever tried to cut a deal with the Lord? Notice the wording in verse 29. Last phrase, let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore in letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. I want you to see today what happens to deal makers with God. And I want you to notice, if you would, that there's something wrong spiritually with the person's heart that tries to cut a deal with God. Pharaoh, of course, is unsaved. He is a leader of Egypt, and he has got hundreds of thousands of free workers. And all of a sudden, Moses comes in with Aaron and says, God, the God of heaven, who Pharaoh does not know nor care about, says, let my people go that they may sacrifice to me in the promised land. Now, Pharaoh looks at it and says, in his mind, I'm not going to let that happen. I would be foolish to let free workers go. So God's plan is for the children of Israel to go to the promised land and worship Him and serve Him. Now, the children of Israel, they don't really care. They just don't like being slaves. They don't know what the will of God is, but they've got a great leader that's named Moses, and Moses says, God has a promised land for us ready. You remember, they left Egypt. They liked it whenever the Egyptians gave them all their wealth. And so they left. They spoiled the Egyptians when they left. They liked that. But they had no idea how God was going to get them to cross the Red Sea. They walked up and they began to bicker and complain about Moses. And Moses takes that rod and the sea parts. And they went, wow. But to get to that point, they did not, I think these 10 events in Egypt were as much for their sakes as they were for the Egyptians and Pharaoh. And I want you to notice, if you would, the pattern of the deal maker. And I want you to notice that if you're not careful, it can be all of us. We make a deal with God. Lord, now keep in mind, we're used to this. How many have ever bought a house? How many have ever bought a house? Okay. How many have ever bought a car? You go in, you sit down with a car dealership, they say, we want $30,000 for this car, $20,000 for this car, $10,000 for this car. How many of you just walk in and say, I'll take that one? Everybody goes in and say, well, would you take $9,000 instead of $10,000? And they go back and say, let me go check my manager. So they go back and check with their manager, and they talk to their manager, and they have a cup of coffee, and they laugh. So I'll go back and say $9,500. Yeah, that's okay. So they go back, and then they say, my manager said, this, we don't know what we're going to do if you don't take this, but $9,500 is the best we can do. And you say, well, you know, I'm not interested. And he says, wait just a minute. Let me go back and check my manager. His coffee cup's empty. So they go back in there, and he goes and checks with his manager. Come back and says, my manager said $9,250. They could go down a little bit. You know what that is? It's a deal making. If you go to I never forget one time, we were in some straw markets in the Caribbean, and and my wife was there, and I told all the kids and my wife, I said, look, when y'all go into this market, don't pay what they're asking, because this is just a part of the plan. If they say they wanted $8 for this basket, offer them $5 for the basket. And then they'll, because that's the way they like to do it. And so they're all the kids are having a good time, and they're buying hats and they're buying baskets and all that kind of stuff. And I noticed this huge crowd around on this one corner. And what's going on over there? I looked over, and my wife was in the middle of that crowd. I couldn't figure out what it was, and I walked over there and kind of made my way through the crowd. I said, what's happening? She says, all these people, they keep coming up to me. I said, well, what are you doing? And she says, well, this one lady came up to me and said this basket was $8, and I felt sorry for her, so I offered her $10. So guess what? Everybody wants to go to that lady. Buy this, buy that. I said, honey, you can't do that. Now we don't go to the Lord and say, Lord, I know you want me to go here, and I'll go there with all my heart. I'll give you more than you ask. You see, that's what God wants, but we're not used to that. We always go in and say, Lord, you want $8, how about $6? Lord, you want my whole life, how about part of my life? I want you to just notice the deal-making of Pharaoh. Now, understand this. We're making deals every day of our life, it seems like. I mean, you go to make a deal to buy a car. You go to make a deal to buy a house. I mean, it's back and forth. Whenever you're going to buy a house, you don't necessarily pay full price. Now, if the market's hot, you might have to pay more than full price. But you're still making a deal. You're trying to work it out. We've got prenuptial agreements. Who in the world? Heaven must be sick at their stomachs about stuff like that. You're worried about money as much as you are the marriage? Or more? Well, it's a deal. Let's make a deal. And so you'll notice here in this passage that Moses looked at Pharaoh and said, let's not deal deceitfully anymore with the Lord. Stop your deal making, in other words. Now I want you to notice, if you would have your Bible, turn back to chapter 7. There's 10 events that happened. You notice, number one, Moses says, Lord, how in the world are they going to know that you're the God of heaven and that Pharaoh needs to listen to you? He said, what's that in your hand? He said, it's a rod. He said, you go over and throw it down on the ground and it turns into a serpent. He says, pick it up by the tail. Now everybody knows you don't do that. But he picked it up by the tail and became a rod again. Moses was obedient. So he said, well, that's cool. That's bound to turn the heart of Pharaoh. So he goes into Pharaoh and he takes that rod, and Pharaoh says, why should I listen to God? And he takes that rod and throws it down and turns into a serpent. And his magicians, or his demon-possessed servants, take their rods and throw them down, and Satan has power too, and they turn into rods. Now, to me, that's not the big deal. I mean, I don't want my guys that maybe necessarily to match it. You'll notice all of a sudden Moses' rod turns around and eats all their rods. I said, whoa. There's something different about that guy there. So you'll notice that's in chapter 7 and verse number 12. They cast down every man his rod and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And so you'll notice, if you would, then he says, okay, I'm not going to let the children of Israel go. I mean, that's a cool trick, but I don't believe you. He says, okay, I'm going to have all the water turn to blood. He takes his rod and it weighs it over Egypt, and all the water turns to blood. And the Egyptians do the same thing. They turn whatever leftover water to blood too. Now, that's just Satan's power. And you'll notice during the course of these events, there comes a point where they say, we can't do it. This is the finger of God. If you'll notice, if you would, in chapter 8 and verse 18, Aaron stretches out his rod and over Egypt, and all the lice comes everywhere. Now, can you imagine that? Lice everywhere? That'd be horrible. So everybody's got lice. Oh, lice jumping back and forth. And you got all the lice, and you can't get rid of them all. I say, please take this away. If there was one little, I don't know what a single one is. I don't know what the proper English term is, a little lice. One little lice back and forth. Jump around the house, my wife would be up, the house would be up for sale in the first deal. I'm just telling you, no varmints in the house, no nothing like that. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse 18, the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So what did they say? You'll notice in verse 19, then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. You see, He had made up his mind in the beginning, I'm not going to do what God wants. But I'll make them think that I'm going to do what he wants me to do. So notice what he does. If you'll notice in verse number 2, I want you to see the attitude happens. He says, okay, Aaron says, okay, I'm going to bring up frogs. So frogs come up all over the place. Now you've got to picture this. Frogs come up and they're in their shower. So you get up and there's your shower. Can you imagine? There's the toilet when I'm looking up at them. And he said, you know, I wish you'd hurry up and make your decision. Let God have his way. I don't like this place. I'd rather be in the river. And the frog's looking at him. And then pretty soon he sees a shower, goes over and pulls back his bed sheets, and there's frogs in the bed. Can you imagine how horrible that would be? But then you open up the oven, and there's frogs in the oven before you start it. You look at it and say, oh, my goodness, frogs. And you pour out the tea, and a frog comes out of the tea. I'm telling you. You and I wouldn't take it that long. You know what Pharaoh says? Notice if you would in verse 9. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me, praise the Lord. I know you've changed your mind. When shall I entreat for thee and thy servants, for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said unto him, right now. What's it say? Tomorrow. That guy either has mild brain damage or something's wrong with him. Tomorrow. Now you know what it was? Stubbornness. I know that God's moving. I know I can see God's hand in my life, and I can see God's hand in Egypt. I know God, there's a God in heaven, and I can see, wow, he brought up frogs and he's going to get rid of the frogs. I can see God's hand moving, but I want you to know something. I'm not bending yet. I'll take the frogs one more night. I can get them out of my bed. Get rid of them tomorrow. You see a stubbornness in the heart of the deal maker. I'm not going to completely agree to anything God says. So he's got his mind made up. But you'll notice another thing about the deal maker. Notice if you would, in Exodus 8 verse 25. Notice with me if you would. And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into Pharaoh's, the house of Pharaoh. So flies come in and they're everywhere. Now, how many of you have ever been in a restaurant and there's one fly flying around? And it messes up the whole day. How many of you talk to them? You know what I'm talking about. I mean, you're sitting there eating and the flies buzz around and you're keeping off the food. I mean, you can't eat because you're watching your food. One fly. Can you imagine flies everywhere? My grandmother, who's in heaven today, growing up in the country, she would make these wonderful cherry pies. She would make pecan pies. She would make peach cobbler. I gotta watch it. I'm starting to drool. And so I would always love to go there and get those things. But every once in a while, you know, the flies are flying around because there's no air conditioning. How many of you grew up in a house with no air conditioning? Or you had family with no air conditioning? Okay. A fly would get over in one of the pies. Couldn't get out in the cherry goo. So no, my grandmother would, she'd take a spoon and go, throw it in the sink. How many of you ever had a peach with a worm in it and your grandmother cut out the worm and gave you the rest of the peach? How many did that? What's your answer? Look at this. I thought my grandmother was nuts. If it's got a worm on the acreage, I don't want that thing. And she would take them, she'd cut out that worm, she'd track it through the thing, cut it all out, and then she'd cut it up, put it, we'd can it. Well, that's what make peach cobbler out of it. So I learned, you know, well, I can't imagine, though, having worms all through the apricot or all through the peach. But can you imagine having flies everywhere? I mean, flies laying in your tea and flies laying on your cobbler and flies are on your meat. It would be horrible. So Pharaoh, notice what he does in verse number 25. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye and sacrifice to your God in the land. First, this is the second deal maker. The first option was, I'll give a little bit, but not till tomorrow. So in other words, you delay obedience. I'm not going to do what's right today, but I might do it tomorrow. So he delayed it. And so he made a deal with God and said, okay, you can take the frogs away. Not today, tomorrow. I'll show you I can handle it one more night. I'll grit my teeth and I'll handle it one more night. Then the flies come. He says, oh, this is awful. Get rid of the flies. He said, take and go. You can go and serve the Lord in your own land. God, that wasn't what God said. God said, I want my people, their flocks, their herds, their husbands and wives, their little ones, their old ones. I want everything they've got to go into the foreign land, to the promised land, and sacrifice there. And he says, first deal with God tomorrow. Second deal with God, go in your own land and sacrifice. Well, notice if you would, then in verse number 28, and Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God. Now notice what he says in verse 26. Moses said, it is not meet so to do. It's not right for us to sacrifice in the land. That's not what God said. Verse 27, we will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us. We're going to do what God says. You better let us. Well, notice what happens. Verse 28, Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away, not 3 days away. Entreat the Lord for me. Do you see? He's just doing a little bit, just enough to get the pressure off. That's a deal maker. I was told very recently about a website, Discreet Encounters for Married People. Millions of people go to that site. Deal makers. I'm married, but what's wrong with a little bit of this or a little bit of that? Wickedness, just like Pharaoh. God said if it's not 100% total, willful obedience, it's disobedience. And we in our society say, Lord, I'll obey you tomorrow. I will obey you, but I'll not go to church regularly. I'll go to church tomorrow, or I'll do this, or I'll do that. Lord, I'll read my Bible a little bit. Lord, I'll start out. I'll read my Bible one day this week, but Lord, I'm not going to do it every day. Lord, I'll pray, but I got to fit it into my schedule. We're making a deal with God. And that's what he said Pharaoh did here. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 28, you shall not go very far away. And notice in verse 29, that was what brought verse 29. And for the last part of the verse, and let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore in letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. The deceit was, I don't want you to go, I'm not going to let you go, but you can go a little bit. You can go into your own land. You can go a little bit, but not very far away. In his heart, he had no intention of doing the will of God, but he was willing to compromise a little bit, make a little bit of a deal. So when God says to you, this is what I want you to do, you cannot come to him and say, Lord, I'll do that, but that's cutting a deal. Lord, I'll go to this college, but that's cutting a deal. Lord, I'll go to the mission field, but that's cutting a deal. And you notice he said here, you can go and you can serve, but just not very far. And Moses said, that's deceitful. You're dealing deceitfully with God. You're cutting a deal. Now notice, if you would, if you have your Bible, keep following along with me. In verse number, chapter 10, look at chapter 10 and verse number 10. Notice what he says. Now this is one in verse 8. And Moses and Aaron, now this is right after, if you'll notice, if you would, this is right after there's been hail. Now, hail has come down and it has destroyed all the crops. It has broken down the trees. The country looks like it has been, a tsunami has gone through the entire Egyptian country. Because hail has fallen from heaven and it's just about destroyed the place. Notice with me, if you would, in verse 7 of chapter 10, Pharaoh's servant said to him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God, not our God, their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? You know, that's what happens to the man that tries to make a deal with God, to the woman that tries to make the deal with God, to a teenager. It's all or nothing. So you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 8, and Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, okay, bring them back. And he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. Okay, so he says the right thing. Go serve the Lord your God. Notice, what's the next word? But. But who are they that shall go? Now notice what happens. Moses said, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons, with our daughters, with our flocks, with our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you. Did you know what it says? You go right ahead, let the Lord be with you. And as I will let you go, and your little ones look you to it, for evil is before you now, not so. Go ye now that ye are men and serve the Lord. Only the men shall go, for that ye did desire. Okay, you can go, but only the men can go. Moses said, okay. He walks out. Notice what he does. Brings the rod over. Locusts come over the land. Now you got trees and stuff that are broken down. There's limbs everywhere, and there's green limbs that are broken down. So the locusts come in and eat everything that's left over. You'll notice, if you would, in verse number 16, and Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore give, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. In other words, the locust. Okay, you can go. Then he hardens his heart. Four verses later. Says, you know, I said I'd obey, but I changed my mind. See, the problem is in the back of the dealmaker's heart is an unwillingness to do totally the will of God. That's the root problem. The person who's not saved yet, it's an unwillingness to totally trust the Lord. It is, I'll get saved, but I only want to do it Sunday in 3 weeks. It's tomorrow. Or I want to get saved, but I want to get baptized too. Or I want to get saved, but I don't really believe that it's by grace only. I'll give some money. So in other words, it's their way. Whenever you're going to get saved, you cannot make a deal with God. It's the Lord's way or the highway. It's all Him. You have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. It's me. I'm wrong. Will you forgive me? With a broken heart. Now, many people say, I'm sorry, because they got caught. How many of you heard the sentence, at least I think that's what I heard right, for the man that captured those three girls, kept them for all those years? How many of you heard his sentence? Do you know what it was? It was life in prison plus 1,000 years. They didn't want to see his face again. The girls didn't have to testify. And you know what he said? He said, I knew you guys would throw the book at me. He doesn't get it yet. I got caught. But it's not like I'm broken. And God allows circumstances like this to bring our heart to the place of total repentance, to where we say, Lord, I'm sorry. That's the only way a person can get saved. It's when you walk down the aisle, you're not worried about what people think or say. You just want the Lord to forgive you. What people think or say is no longer a part. It's no longer really important. When you want to get things right with the Lord, you don't care if there's 50 people in the church or 5,000 people in the church. I just want to get things squared away. So you come forward no matter what. Whenever you want to do the will of God, it doesn't matter if your alarm goes off early or late or whatever happens. You want to get up and spend a little time with the Lord. When your heart is right, nothing else matters. You just want to do the will of God. Is that you this morning? Or do you want to do the will of God, but? You want to, I want to tithe, but. I want to give this, but. I want to go on a mission trip, but. I want to do what you want me to do, but, Lord, don't ask me to do this or that. It's all or nothing. The Lord's not interested in compromise. And you know what? That's our lives. We compromise all over the place. It's the way we do deals all over our society. And we're all, how many of you know what couponing is? Well, that's the art of the deal making. You know, I'd buy that if I could find a coupon for this. Nothing wrong with that. It's just our society. We're looking for discounts. And I mean, I've gone into a place before and said, is that your best deal? I mean, you're looking at furniture. Is that your best deal? You're looking at, is that your best deal? We always expect a little bit better deal. And then we go to the Lord and say, Lord, is that your best deal? The Lord says, wait a minute. It's me. I'm the one that made heaven. I'm the one that made hell. I'm trying to keep you out of it. You got to obey 100%. And we say, but Lord, is that your best deal? So notice, if you would, what happens. Notice now, if you would. He said, okay, now only the men can go. And then notice, if you would, in chapter 10, verse 24, he says this. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. Now, everybody can go. Just leave your cattle behind. Still trying to cut a deal. Verse 25, Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifice and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. In verse 26, notice the totality of the obedience. Our cattle also shall go with us, and there shall not an hoof be left behind. I have it underlined in my Bible. Don't leave a hoof behind. When God calls, don't leave a nickel behind. When God calls, don't leave a minute behind. When God calls, don't leave a thought behind. It's 100%, Lord, I'm yours, or that's it. We displease the Lord. That's why when young people say, Mom, Dad, I obeyed. No, you didn't. It's 100% or disobedience. The Lord's trying to make it clear. He takes the whole book of Exodus nearly, trying to convince us that deal making is whenever you say, Lord, I'll go, but can I leave my flocks? I'll go, but can I just be the men go? I'll go, but can this, but. And the Lord says, no, obey or disobey. Saul lost his kingdom over it. And you and I cannot make a deal with the Lord. The Lord says, I am the God of heaven, the King of kings. I'm asking for your heart. You can't obey and your heart be left behind. Not a hoof is left behind. Moses figured it out. Why do you think God called Moses my friend? I'll speak to Moses face to face because he knew the definition of obedience. Not a hoof left behind. Not a nickel left behind. No deals. Total obedience. I think there's a lot of people. Brother Matt Allen has got villages all in Papua New Guinea that he can't get to. I think there's people in churches like this that are supposed to be there. Jeremy sent me pictures of hundreds of villages. I showed it to somebody this morning. 200 villages that he hadn't got to yet. They've already got 4 or 5 churches started, but they can't get to these 200 villages, these 200 huts. And he says, Dad, I'd love to be able to get to those huts, but I just need people. And so my point to you is that I think there are people around this world. Do you think God says, well, I don't know where I'm going to get those people. I think he's calling people and they're saying, Lord, I'll go, but. I think he's calling young people, but they say, I'll go, but. We don't know what obedience means. It's his way, period. I'll obey. So we don't train our children to obey totally. Not a hoof left behind. So if you're going to obey someone, not a hoof left behind. Notice, if you would, very quickly. And finally, notice, if you would, with me, verse number 31 of chapter 12. When God said, okay, Moses, Aaron, put the blood on the doorposts, and when the death angel passes over at midnight, I will take the firstborn of everybody in this country that does not have blood on the doorpost. Only the blood. Now listen very carefully. God was very explicit. You take the blood of a perfect lamb and sprinkle it on the doorpost and the lintel, and whenever the death angel comes over and I see the blood, I'll pass over you. We've got a song that somebody wrote, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Came from this passage. And so he says, look, if you want to save your firstborn, that would have been me. How many of you are firstborns in this room? Raise your hand. It would have been every one of us. But by faith, their parents said, I'm going to go sacrifice a lamb and I'm going to put the blood on the door. And that's the only way you get to heaven, by the blood of Christ. No other way. And so all of a sudden we look at it and say, but Lord, what about this and what about that? What about all these other churches and all these other groups? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's either that way or no way. And we have to learn to say, either the Lord is right, the word of God is right, or it's not. But the Lord Jesus doesn't make deals. And so you'll notice what happens is, Pharaoh is still making a deal with God, still trying to cut a deal with God. Moses said, not a hoof left behind. Okay, God says, I'm done with him. All right, put the blood on the doorpost and everybody that doesn't. And he knew Pharaoh wouldn't. And sure enough, nobody in Egypt did. After Egypt is destroyed, they still do not believe the God of heaven was the God of heaven. So if you notice in verse number 29, now notice verse 23, here's the passage. And the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel, upon the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. So there's the plan of God. You do it, I'll protect, I'll tell the old devil, leave that house alone. We'll go house by house, leave that house alone. It's got the blood on the door. I want you to know something, that's what I want for my home. Lord, whenever the old death angel comes over to our house, or whenever the old devil comes to our house and tries to cause trouble, I want the Lord to say, leave him alone. He's protected. He's obedient, leave him alone. You remember when Job, the old devil went to the Lord about Job? And he said, you know, no wonder Job serves you, because you put a hedge about him. You want that hedge about you and your family? Then do what's right. Total obedience. Otherwise, you're out from underneath the umbrella of God's protection and the old devil's coming after you. And Pharaoh says, I don't care. That's okay with me. So the Lord says in verse 29, this is Exodus 12, 29. And it came to pass that at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat upon his throne and the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. Can you imagine all the cattle, all the sheep, firstborn of every one of them, firstborn of everyone in Pharaoh's house? And about 12:05, there arose a cry. Verse number 30, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all of his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a cry, a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house, there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people. Go ye and the children of Israel and go and serve the Lord as ye have said. There's obedience. Just like you said. And you know, tonight, folks, today, look, obedience is obedience. That's the reason you can't cheat on your income taxes, not a dime. That's the reason you can't cheat the Lord, not a nickel. That's the reason you can't say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do tomorrow. It's not obedience. You can't say, I'll stop thinking those thoughts tomorrow. It's not obedience. The Lord looks at us and says, I love you. Will you obey me? Moses, the Lord said, that's my friend. Because he says, when I told him, everybody goes, he looked at Pharaoh in the eye and said, not one hoof's left behind. That's obedience. And God loved him for it. Are you obedient today? Have you come to the Lord Jesus his way and said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve to go to heaven. And I realize you're the only way, and I'm putting my faith and trust in you and asking you to forgive me of my sin. Have you come to Jesus Christ and trusted him as your Savior? If not, you can't go to heaven. I didn't say that. He said it. That's not the Baptist way. That's the Lord's way. It's written in Scripture. You got a copy of it in your lap. And if you don't, you come to him, we'll give you one today. It's important that you understand when God says something, obedience is the only thing that pleases him. He said to obey is better than to sacrifice in 1 Samuel. To obey is to better than sacrifice. In other words, Lord, I tell you what I'll do. I'm not going to give to you on a regular basis, but I tell you what I am going to do. I'm going to give a $500 offering this Sunday. The Lord says, I don't want your sacrifice. I want your obedience. Lord, I'm going to go to church tonight. I don't normally go on Sunday night, or I'm going to go on Wednesday night, or Lord, I'm going to start, I'll teach a Sunday school class, or I'll get in the choir, Lord. That's a big sacrifice, but I'm not going to give you my thoughts. The Lord says, look, obedience is better than sacrifice. Young people, it's better for you to obey than to make a great sacrifice. It's better for you to pick up your room when your parents say it is than after dinner say, Mom, how about if I do the dishes? Something that, you know, I'm really trying to make up for not obeying. Your parents much rather you just obey than to make a sacrifice. And so would God. So you know the story. Pharaoh says, get out of the land, go. And they get out of the land, and he sees them packing up, and he sees them pulling off, and he sees them, and all the people of Israel, all the people of Pharaoh's family and country take their gold and their silver, and they say, here, go. They despoil the Egyptians. So the Israelites, these slaves, leave with everything of Egypt. And they get to the edge of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh says, now they're stuck. They can't cross the Red Sea. And he changed his mind one last time. And so what he does, he says, pack up. They're trapped by the Red Sea. Come on, let's go get them. We're going to get our stuff back. And all the people said, yeah. They didn't look around and see they ain't got nothing left. And it was God's word that did it. So they all get together. Well, you know the story. They cross the Red Sea. Children of Israel, Moses, Aaron goes out there and the sea parts. And they go across, get on the other side. And Pharaoh says, hey, if they can do it, we can do it. They forgot again the 11th time. When God says something, he means it. So they get in the sea. I've often wondered this. How many of you have heard of the Google-eyed perched? Have you ever heard of that? A Google-eyed fish. They got big eyes. I wonder if they were the fish that bumped up against the wall of the Red Sea. When they looked in there and said, what is that? Jewish people walking through on dry ground. I don't know what that is. Never seen that before. Their eyes bugged out. I wonder if that's where we got the Google-eyed perched. Or the whatever you might say. And you see them walking across. All of a sudden God says, okay, take your rod and pass it over. And the sea goes back. And Pharaoh and his army, the deal maker, in the end, loses everything. Today, don't be a deal maker with the Lord. The Lord's blessing is too great. Don't try to say, Lord, I made a decision a long time ago. If you don't have peace, come get peace this morning. Settle eternal life. If you, the Lord's burdening your heart about doing something for the Lord. Now, on September 7th at the new property, we're going to have a big day of food and fellowship and fun, have a bunch of games and all kinds of stuff out there. And we're going to have some tables set up in every ministry of our church. I want you to come and say, I want to get involved. Every one of you. You say, well, I don't do much now. Come get involved. You can fix a meal. You can be on the Helping Hands ministry. You can help us mow grass if you want. You can be on the snow. Whenever we get snow, you can be on the snow crew that helps clear the property. I mean, there's something you can do. You can be a part of the choir. You can be a part of Sunday school and be a part of Awana's. There's all kinds of ministry. You can be in Joshua Club and come to Patterns. There's all kinds of things you can do. And you don't have to just sit back and say, well, I'm not really very involved. I don't know anybody. Come get involved. Come be a part. And so my point to you is this, you can serve, but let the Lord touch your heart and say, I'm going to get involved. Don't sit back and the Holy Spirit touch your heart and say, well, you know, tomorrow, next year, maybe. I'd like to, but if you're not having your devotions, start today. If you're not reading your Bible every day and have a prayer list, I got a prayer list right here in the back of my Bible that I just redid this past week. And there's my prayer list, all the things on it. And so when I pray for different people, and I pray for the deacons, and I pray for all kinds of different people, and I pray for the staff, and various ones of you, I'm praying for you. And what I'm trying to say to you is that, you know, I'm going to take the whole church family, and there's some things that the Lord's burdening my heart about. And I can't look at the Lord and say, Lord, I'm too busy for that. There's no deals with God. I remember one time years ago, there was an evangelist that came to our church. He was in a wheelchair with no legs. And told the story. He said, I was in Vietnam. And he said, I was a pastor's son. But I didn't want to be a preacher. And I'd seen, you know, things in my parents, in the church that was there. No church is perfect, folks. There's things in every church. You know why? Because the pastors are human. You know why else? Because the deacons are human. You know why else? Because the choir's human. Everybody's human. We all make mistakes. And so he said, you know, I'm not going to be a preacher. The Lord says, I want you to preach. He said, no. I'm going to go do my own thing. I'm going to go join the military. She was like Jonah, ran and jumped the military. I'm going to do my own thing. And he said, I was in Vietnam, and he said, I was leading a group of guys, and he said, I stepped on a landmine, and he said, when it went off, it blew me up into the air, and he says, on the way up, I said, Lord, I'll do your will. When he hit the ground, he looked down, his legs were gone. He said, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? If you let me get through this, I'll serve you. His whole life, he tried to make a deal with God. Till finally, he'll look in the eye and say, I tried to cut a deal with God. This is where it gets you. He said, but I'm happy serving the Lord now. And he still is preaching. Why? Because God said, I want you to serve me. You don't have to, but I'm asking you to serve me. And the Lord has got people that need to be saved that you and I have to witness to. Tracks. Be a part of the Seven for Heaven Club this year. I'm not blind. I know there are people that don't pass out tracks. You don't have to do it for me. I'm never going to walk up to you. Jonathan, have I ever walked up to you and asked you where your tracks are? How about you, Brother Rick? How about you, Brother Jim? That's not my job. It's the Holy Spirit's job. I don't know what one person gives in this church, not one nickel. But I know everybody's supposed to give if the Lord bless you. That's not my business. That's the Lord's. I know everyone's supposed to be involved, but I don't go around telling you, everybody, you got to get involved. You got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do that. Hey, all I'm saying is obedience is today, not tomorrow. Obedience is I'm totally yours, not but. And when I see that young man preach, when I saw that young man get up to preach, roll over in his wheelchair, mighty preacher, he said, I have no legs because I gave God a but. And he said, I don't accept it. But he did yield. Pharaoh didn't. And he died for it. Today, the Lord loves you. But you can't cut a deal with him. If you're supposed to pray for some people, you're supposed to pray for them. You can't cut a deal. If you're supposed to come do whatever, you can't cut a deal. You have to say to the Lord Jesus, Lord, I'm yours, and no one else is important as you are. Let's bow our heads for a prayer this morning. I'll ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. If you're here today, could I plead with you if you say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm on the way to heaven today. Could I ask this with heads bowed and eyes closed? If you're here today and say, Pastor, I don't know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know that 100%. Would you just raise your hand? Let me just see it. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to know how to pray. I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. Would you let me pray for you? Just slip it up quickly. Just put it right back down. A young person, adult, anybody, just slip it up. I know there are people in a crowd this size. I just don't know if you have the courage to raise your hand. I didn't when I was a teenage boy. But let me pray for you, if you would. Just slip it up and right back down. Pastor, pray for him. Just slip it up and right back down. Yes. Anybody? Quickly, quickly. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I know this. There's something God wants me to do, and I have not yet done it. Would you pray for me? I want to obey the Lord. Would you slip up your hand? All over the building, Pastor, just pray for me. Just slip it up all over the building. That's right. Yes, yes, yes. Just slip it up and right back down. Now, we're going to have a word of prayer in just a moment. Could I ask you to do this? If you're not having your devotions, if you're not reading your Bible every day and praying, if you're not lifting up other people, could I encourage you to come this morning? So I'm going to start. If you're not doing something God wants you to do, why don't you step out of the aisle this morning, come to this altar and say, I'm going to start today. If you need to be a part of our church, you come today. If you need to be baptized, you come today. Whatever the need is in your heart, don't do what Pharaoh said. Tomorrow you can take away the frogs. Don't do what Pharaoh said. You can go but. Give him your heart. Lord Jesus, you see the hearts of people today. Lord, I know that you love everybody in this room, and I know you know every name. Lord, you know how much we weigh. You know the hairs on our head. You know the thoughts that we think. Dear Lord Jesus, give us tender hearts this morning. A heart like Moses. Lord, I'll do your will. In your precious name we pray. Amen.